Yes. All right, let's turn in our Bibles together to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians is a letter in the middle of the New Testament, and if you want to use that Bible that's in the pew in front of you, that blue Bible, it's on page 957. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, on page 957. Through the month of June, we started last Sunday, and through the month of June, we're working through these aren't the only rhythms, but four rhythms that are a part of our relationship with people who don't know Jesus. We've said as a church that we want to be about growing in three relationships: our relationship with God, our relationship with each other as Christians, the church, and our relationship with the world, those who don't know Christ. And there's rhythms God has given us that help us grow in each of those relationships. And as we come to 1 Corinthians 9, we're going to see another rhythm that helps us grow in our relationship with the world. Let's start in chapter 9, verse 19. God says this through the Apostle Paul: "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." I came across a news story recently that was about over the past decade, researchers, scientists, engineers have been working on how to revolutionize life for men and women that live with prosthetic limbs. And it's remarkable to see the way function can be restored to someone through a prosthetic limb. But what this team of researchers is working on is more than that. It's kind of going one step, maybe 10 steps further than that. Because through the technology of electrodes and sensors, they're actually finding ways to not just restore function to a person, but actual feeling to a person. They're able to restore not just someone being able to have a hand if they've lost their hand, but being able to feel with their fingertips again. It's incredible research when you've seen the story, but think about that. Things that you and I take for granted on a daily basis. Being able to feel the cup that we pick up to hold and drink. Being able to feel the floor that you're walking on under your feet. Being able to feel the person's hand that you're shaking, or feel the hand of the loved one that you're holding. The actual feeling of that is something that they're working to restore. And as I watched this, I thought, this is really connected to the fact that our lives as people, as human beings in this world, are just as much about feeling as they are function. We're not robots who just walk around and complete tasks. Our lives are just as much about connection with one another as they are productivity. Healthy human life is not just about responsibilities and roles. It's also about relationships. Real, genuine, meaningful relationships with other people. And this is also true for a Christian's relationship with the lost world around them. As we go through these rhythms, and we think about this one this morning, I want you to realize that if you're in this room and you know Jesus, your relationships with those who don't know Jesus are not just about the task of sharing the gospel with them. It's not just about the responsibility to pray for them. Those things are important. But it's also about a genuine love for that person that sees them as a person made in the image of God, not as a project, not as a number, but as a human being. And I think many of us in our hesitancy to share the gospel or maybe our passion to share the gospel, we need that sense of feeling, that sense of touch restored to how we think about that, to how we think about the world around us. And this is Paul's goal in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. As we've gone through these rhythms throughout the whole year, we're kind of sprinkling them throughout the whole year, we're trying to show that each one flows out of something true about God. These are not just, hey, here's a good moral and right thing for a person to do. It's, here's who God is. Therefore, as his people, here's who we are to be. And the way I would like to word this way, this rhythm today, it's the rhythm of reaching. And the statement is this: we reach others at all cost because Jesus reaches us at all cost. The rhythm of reaching out to other people. We reach others at all cost because Jesus reaches us at all cost. So we'll look at this in two ways this morning: how we reach others and then why. And we need both. How we reach others and why. So let's start with the first one: how we reach others. It might have sounded weird when I started reading in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19, because we're coming in on the middle of what Paul's talking about. It's like walking up to two people that are talking and they're in the middle of a conversation and you don't really have any context for what's going on. That's what we're doing a little bit here. But what's happening in this passage is we're coming in on the middle of Paul's explanation of why he does what he does, why his ministry looks the way it looks. He's being criticized by some people in Corinth, the original audience that he was writing to, because his way of doing ministry was different from other teachers that seem more impressive. And so they're looking at these other teachers that seem to be a bigger deal, and then they're going back and critiquing Paul. Why don't you look like them? Why don't you do what they do? And he's explaining them, here's why I do what I do. And he's explaining how he lives around the people he wants to see come to know Christ. And he gives us this example so we'll mimic it in our own lives. And as we come to verse 19, he starts with a headline statement. Look with me there again, verse 19. He says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them." That first phrase, "For though I am free from all," because Jesus is the authority, the king in Paul's life, he's free from all, meaning no other person dictates how he lives life. Only Jesus does that. Jesus is his king. Jesus is his Lord. But even though he's free from all, he says, "I have made myself a servant to all." He says, "I voluntarily lay aside my freedom in order to serve others." And then you see a little glimpse of the why here. In the last part of verse 19, "that I might win more of them." That's the next point we're going to get to, but you get a little preview of it there of why he's doing it. But it sounds like, "I could be free from all, but really I've made myself a servant to all." That can sound like Paul just is whoever other people want him to be. Like Paul's just constantly changing who he is to fit in with other people. But that's not what he's after. Let's understand what he's saying through the examples that he gives. Look at verse 20. He lists off some examples here. "To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law that I might win those outside the law. And to the weak, I became weak that I might win the weak." So as Paul lists out these different groups of people, Jewish people, those under the law, those outside the law, meaning Gentiles, non-Jewish people, the weak, he's listing out people of different customs, people of different cultures, people of different traditions, people of even of different ethnicities, and he says to each of these groups, "To them I became as one of them. To them I became as one of them. To them I became as one of them." meaning I lived in a way that I adapted my cultural sensitivities, my cultural traditions to fit them. It does not mean that Paul went undercover and hid his faith in Jesus. He's saying, when I was with a Jewish person that didn't know Jesus, there are certain things I would do and not do to accommodate to them. When I was with a Gentile person who did not know Jesus, there are certain things I would do and not do to accommodate to them. Though Paul had the freedom in Christ to not be bound by the traditions of other people, to not be bound by the cultures of other people, he consistently showed an adaptability, a flexibility in order to serve and love others. He says, I'm accommodating myself to them in order to reach them with the gospel. Now, I said this doesn't mean that Paul went undercover and is kind of acting like he's not a Christian. He makes that really clear. Look at there's two kind of parenthetical statements as we were reading through this. Notice those with me. Back in verse 20, he says, to those under the law, I became as one under the law. Here's that first parentheses, though not being myself under the law. And then skip with me to verse 21. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law. Here's the second one. Not being outside the law of God, but being under the law of Christ. What Paul's saying is, I didn't just change everything about myself to fit them. I stayed anchored to who I am in Christ and who Jesus is. You and I, as we go to reach other people, we don't sacrifice godliness in order to reach others. We don't sacrifice holiness for the sake of a witness. Our godliness, our holiness is part of our witness to the world of what it means to follow Jesus and why that is the good and right way to live. Striving to live like Jesus is part of what it means to reach other people for Christ. So Paul had this beautiful balance of being both faithful and flexible. A pastor I was reading a book from this week about this passage, he said Paul lived with a faithful flexibility. I would love for someone to be able to say that about me. May we be a church that lives with a faithful flexibility, faithful to Christ in the clearest ways possible, but flexible in how we fit in and love other people in order to win them for Christ. This is the how we reach others. We don't adapt the gospel. We don't adapt our holiness. We, like Paul, are to adapt our personal preferences to the preferences of other people. He adapted his cultural traditions to the traditions of other people. He adapted his rights to the needs of other people. And you see it all summarized in verse 22. The second part of verse 22, he says, I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. We reach others at all costs because Jesus reaches us at all costs. I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. Paul's language here sounds really similar to the way he talks about what Jesus has done in another one of his letters. You don't have to turn there with me. I'll just read it to you. But in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says this about Christ. He says, Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Remember, Paul said, I've made myself a servant to all people. Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Jesus could say to people, I became a person in order to win the people. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Paul's saying, I've been saved by Jesus, and I'm just living out of the love and humility Jesus has shown to me to save me. because I want to see him save other people. Within the boundaries of Jesus' commands, Paul would flex and adapt and accommodate in any way he could if it meant reaching someone with the gospel of Jesus. I'd like for us to think about this in two ways in the way it applies to us. In our gathering as a church and in our going as a church. Last week we talked about how we have this weekly rhythm of a church of we gather and then we go. We gather and then we go. We gather Sunday after Sunday for worship and learning and encouraging each other and challenging each other. And then we go. We go into our homes and our workplaces and our neighborhoods and our families to live faithfully for Jesus and share him with others. So how does this truth that Paul's laying out first apply to when we gather here as a church? One of the things that I think we as a pastoral team are trying to ask, and I'd love for us as a whole church just to think about together, is we need to consistently ask, how can we best set up our church to reach the people who don't know Christ? How can we best set up our church to reach people who don't know Christ? How can we best set up our life classes, your life class that you're a part of, to reach people who don't know Christ? How can we best set up our food fellowships, our worship ministry, our student ministry, our family ministry? How can we best set up Vacation Bible School to reach people who don't know Christ? What this will mean is us often sacrificing our personal preferences in order to reach other people. Something we have to all reckon with is, are you and I willing to put up with things we don't like in church in order to reach others? Are we willing to feel uncomfortable here a little bit? Are we willing to feel a little awkward at times? Are we willing to make ourselves uncomfortable in order to reach others? If we're not, it's not others we're serving, it's ourselves. And this is a tendency in my own heart that I have to fight against because I've never met anyone that doesn't love being comfortable. We all like it. But for the sake of the gospel, we can't stay there. For the sake of lost people around us, we can't stay there. So when we are here together, it doesn't mean we're revolving everything we do around those who don't yet know Christ, but it does mean we're doing everything we do with an eye towards how are we connecting with people who don't know Christ. As we go, that's our gathering, as we go into the world, our lives in the world, living this way, this how that Paul lays out, I become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. This will mean us sacrificing certain freedoms in order to reach people in certain situations. You do have a freedom to share your opinion and your thoughts on secondary issues like certain political topics, certain cultural topics, but are you willing to mute your opinion at times for the sake of the gospel? Are you willing to tone back your own thoughts and opinions for the sake of reaching other people for Christ? I'm not saying toning down the gospel, but I'm saying toning down convictions we have that I'm not saying are wrong, but convictions we have that sometimes we elevate to being synonymous with the gospel. We're willing to mute that so that other people can hear and see Jesus more clearly. One of my favorite verses in the New Testament comes from Acts chapter 15. And the early church, very beginning, the leaders at the time are wrestling with different issues between Jews and Gentiles. And after they're wrestling back and forth and thinking through how to best handle them, James, I think it is, stands up and makes this statement in Acts 15, 19. His conclusion is this. He says, brothers, we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. We should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Meaning, we shouldn't set up hurdles between someone and Jesus that they don't really need to jump over to get to him. Well, first, if you're going to come to Jesus, you need to dress a certain way when you come to church. No. First, when you come to Jesus, you need to make sure you vote a certain way. Jump over that hurdle. It's not the gospel. Well, first, before you come to Jesus, you need to make sure you kind of clean yourself up, get your act together. That's the very opposite of the gospel. The gospel's not, hey, clean yourself up and then come to Jesus. The gospel is come to him and he will transform you and change you and save you. We cannot let our secondary opinions be walls that keep people from ever hearing the message of Jesus. We don't want our lives to communicate that faith in Jesus means becoming exactly like me. So we have to ask ourselves, how can I avoid giving undue offense so that people can hear the gospel of Jesus? If someone's offended by the gospel, that's one thing. That's a faithful witness for Christ. But if someone's offended by some other message or some other truth and they can't hear the gospel because of it, that's another thing. Paul had this inconsistency about him, and it was good. He had this inconsistency in his lifestyle that had this higher goal, this higher purpose. He sacrificed his preferred way of life for the sake of the gospel and for the souls of other people. That's the how of how we reach others. And second half this morning is why we reach others. Why we reach others. Because the reality is, Paul's why is just as important as the how. In fact, it might be more important because the why shapes the how. Paul is the way he is because of this truth that he's about to explain to us. And it's almost impossible to miss Paul's why when reading through these verses. You just have to like fall asleep mid-sentence. That's the only way to miss it. It's the only way to miss it. Let me read back through the part we just did and listen for some emphasis here. Verse 19. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. Paul was adapting and being flexible in various social situations, not to get other people to like him, but to get them to a relationship with Jesus. This was not about winning other people's approval. This was about winning them to Christ. And Paul uses the word win over and over there. You heard it in the way I was reading it. But it has this meaning of to gain someone. Not winning as in defeating an opponent. I proved them wrong and they trusted Christ. I've never heard that happen. But rather of gaining a prize, not for himself. Look at all these people I've led to Christ, but gaining a soul for the kingdom of God. This is how Paul viewed it. That people are not projects. People are not a number. They are men or women, Jew or Gentile, made in the image of God, whose souls are lost without Jesus. So Paul's goal was not power. Paul's goal was not money. Paul's goal was not recognition. Paul's goal was not even his own freedom. His goal was people, the salvation of people. And he makes this really clear with what he says in verse 23. He says, I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. The reason Paul bent over backwards to reach other people was because the gospel is worth it. The reason he made himself uncomfortable and laid aside his own preferences and freedoms and rights was because Jesus is worth it. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, he says. And there's an interesting phrase there at the end. He says that I may share with them in its blessings. you would actually expect him to say that they would share with me in its blessings. But he says that I might share with them in the blessings of the gospel. What does he mean? Well, I think it's similar to when you go to a new restaurant. You or you and your spouse or you and your family, you and a friend go to a new restaurant, and it's amazing. You've never been there before, but you love the food, you love the service, you love just the whole feel of the place. You love everything about it, and you want to go and take another friend or another family member. Hey, we tried this restaurant the other day. It was so good. You got to come with us. When you're inviting them to come with you, and they do, and you're, man, I'm so glad we got to do this. I'm so glad you get to come and try this new place with me. The food is delicious. The service is quick and excellent. When you invite them and y'all sit down to eat, you're not inviting them to come watch you enjoy the food at the restaurant. Hey, I had a really good time at this restaurant. Come with me and watch me eat that same meal again. It's so good. That'd be really odd. You're inviting them to come and enjoy the same thing you did. I found so much satisfaction and joy from this meal. I want you to come experience that. And Paul's saying, I found such great joy in Jesus. I want to see other people enjoy him. I want to see other people experience the goodness and love and mercy of Jesus with me. I want to share with them in the blessings of the gospel. And this same theme continues down in verse 24. I'll read this last paragraph for us. It says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. And then he starts giving these metaphors. He says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I don't run aimlessly. I don't box as one beating the air. I discipline my body, or I discipline myself and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. The point of these metaphors of an athlete and the kind of focus and motivation an athlete has, the point of that is the command he gives in verse 24. He says, run that you may obtain it. Run like your goal is to win. I've become like this to the Jews, to win the Jews. I've become like this to those under the law, to win those under the law. I've become like this to those not under the law, to win those not under the law. Paul's saying, run to win. Don't run aimlessly. Run to win. Don't live life without this focus. The lost souls of other people, the glory of the gospel, the goodness of Jesus. Run living each day with the focus of verse 23, I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessing. Why live that way? Why live that way when it's uncomfortable or awkward or difficult or means laying aside some things, preferences I have? Well, because Paul says we're not running for a trophy that won't last. We're running towards eternal life with Jesus. We're running towards what lasts forever, and we want to bring others along with us. How would it impact your life if you thought of reaching others like running a race you're trying to win? How would it impact our lives if we viewed reaching the loss that God has put around us at your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your friend group, at your school, on your team, in your family? What would be different about our lives if we viewed that rhythm like running a race? We are doing everything we can to win. Are you spending your best time and energy running after what won't last forever or what will last forever? Are we spending our best time and energy month after month, year after year, running after what won't last or what will last? This is why reaching others is worth the sacrifices we make to do it. This is why faithful flexibility is worth it. This is why it's worth it to lay aside our own preferences. This is why it was worth it to Paul to reach all kinds of people. It would have been way easier for Paul to say, hey, I'm just going to focus on reaching the Jews. There was a need there. It would have been way easier for Paul. But he said, no, it's worth it to reach all kinds of people because we have a crown that is imperishable because we're running to win a prize And church, if you and I get serious about reaching all kinds of people, if we start doing this, it will make some aspects of church awkward. It will make some aspects of church uncomfortable. But it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. As you look around this room this morning, and you see the empty spots that are in these pews, our goal is not to get Christians from other churches in our community to come and fill these spots. There's great churches in our community. If someone's at a church that preaches the Bible and loves Jesus and is teaching and discipling people faithfully, stay there and serve there. Let these empty spots remind you that King Jesus has given us a mission. Let these empty spots remind you not that we're trying to grow a church or make a name for LaGrange Baptist. Let the empty spots remind you that there are lost people around us that we need to reach. There's a sense in which I hope we always feel a little bit uncomfortable here. Our goal is not to be the church that makes someone want to leave their church to come here. That's not our goal. Our goal is to be the kind of church that makes someone want to leave the emptiness of not following Jesus and come to Jesus and follow him. That's the kind of church we want to be. We're not looking to just entertain Christians. We want to reach lost people, because if this church wasn't like that in the past, I wouldn't be a Christian. Some of you wouldn't be Christians. We wouldn't have a church here today. We want to become all things to all people. We want to do it all for the sake of the gospel. You and I, sitting in this room today, are recipients of the work of those who've done it all for the sake of the gospel. There are men and women in the history of our church that are still in this room today, and many that have passed on to eternity in heaven with Jesus, that made the decisions they made that put us in the place that we're in right now because they said, we want to do it all for the sake of the gospel. We moved from the building we were in DeHaven on Main Street in LaGrange to this building because there was a group of people that said, we want to do it all for the sake of the gospel. So have we received this and have the same motivation? Or are we saying to previous generations, thank you, we'll just be comfortable here? No, we want to do it all for the sake of the gospel, right? We don't want to preserve our traditions and then lose the next generation for the gospel. We don't want to protect our comforts and then let the lost community around us go to eternity without Christ. Church, I know that the Lord is using his word to stir up something in your heart as he's doing in mine. I don't have some big announcement right now. That starting today, this is what's going to change in our church. So if that was if you're getting some anxiety over that, you can exhale a little bit. But I want you to know, as if you see things that are changing or things that are staying the same, we're doing things because we want to do it all for the sake of the gospel. We want to do it to reach more people. This church doesn't only exist for the people that are currently in this room. This church exists for people who are not here yet, people who don't know Christ yet, kids who aren't even born yet. And this has huge implications for who we are as a church. This means, let me just give you a couple practical things and then we'll wrap up. One is, this means on Sunday mornings, let's all be people who walk in here expecting not to just talk to the same people. I know it's comfortable, but we want to lay aside our comforts and our preferences, and let's be people who come in here looking for someone that we don't know. Maybe it's somebody who already goes here. Maybe it's someone who's here for the first time. If you're a guest here this morning, you're not about to get swarmed after the service is over, I promise. You're like, man, we need to scoot out during the last song because all these people are about to come talk to us. It's not what I'm advocating for. But this matters for how we operate here, that I'm expecting people to be here that don't know Christ because I want that. Are we expecting that? This means like when we have events like Vacation Bible School and we have a family fun night during that week where we invite the community to come and we're doing games out in the parking lot and inflatables and snow cones and cotton candy and having a blast. This means I'm showing up to that not to just hang out with my church friends. I'm showing up to meet people from the community that I want to love for the sake of Jesus and for the sake of the gospel. And this means you and I live this way in our day-to-day lives because Jesus has given us a mission, and he's given his church a mission not to just cater to our preferences or to protect our traditions, but to make disciples of all nations. And that will mean sacrificing our comforts in order to reach other people. We reach others at all costs because Jesus reaches us at all costs. So let's be a people who steadily, consistently, daily live lives that are faithful and flexible for the sake of the gospel.